This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 216. Today, we sit down and talk to Vesa Juvonen about the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices Group, recorded live September the 25th, 2017.
Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Microsoft Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, and the competitive landscape and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Andrew Connell.
And I'm Chris Johnson.
Send us a tweet, either to the show at MS Cloud Show, or to Andrew at Andrew Connell.
Or Chris at LoungeFlyZ.
As we'd love to connect with you. We're just two dudes telling you how we see it.
What if you could take any process your teams use to get work done and make it happen automatically? What if you could save countless hours and help people work better together? Nintex can make that happen. With the Nintex platform, work flows from person to person, system to system, to the cloud and back, and it flows in and out of the tools that you use every day. With Nintex, work flows so your teams can work smarter, work faster, and be more connected than ever.
Hello, everybody. Straight from Orlando, Florida again. We're doing another recording from the Ignite 2017 conference. Today, I sat down with Vesa Juvonen from Microsoft, and we sat down to talk about the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices Group. This is a discussion or a topic that we've wanted to get on the show for a very long time. It's way overdue, but hey, we got it here today. In this episode, you're going to find out about what the Patterns and Practices Group is, what it has to offer, who's involved in it, how it's a community-led, primarily community-led organization, and other resources that they have to offer that you could take advantage of as a Office 365 developer. So with that, we're going to just jump straight into the interview. So I hope you enjoy it. A 99.9% SLA means you're protected from power outages, bad patches, natural disasters, and maybe even a dinosaur attack. Does it protect you from yourself, though? AvePoint Backup for SharePoint Online provides full fidelity backup and recovery, from individual items to entire team sites. AvePoint can run backups up to 4 times a day to ensure your data is secure. Recover anytime you want without having to pick up the phone and schedule restore windows. Learn why AvePoint is the Microsoft Cloud expert at www.avpoint.com.
ShareGate makes it easier for organizations to adopt and use the latest Microsoft productivity tools, helping millions of users be happier and more productive at work. ShareGate is trusted by over 10,000 IT admins from over 110 countries to manage, migrate, and secure their SharePoint and Office 5 environments. ShareGate is recognized as the must-have tool for day-to-day administration of on-premises, cloud, and hybrid environments. Interested in learning more? Check us out at ShareGate.com to learn how ShareGate can make you more productive.
All right, I'm here today sitting at Ignite, and we're doing another one of our Ignite shorts today. It's just me flying solo. CJ is off manning his booth today. Today in this short, what we want to do is I want to talk a little bit about the Office Dev PNP or the Office PNP. And I'm sitting here with Vesa. Vesa, go ahead and introduce yourself for our listeners.
Yeah, so my name is Vesa Juvonen. I'm a senior program manager from SharePoint Engineering nowadays. Been in Microsoft now 11 years, done miscellaneous roles and miscellaneous things. But our team in SharePoint Engineering is responsible for SharePoint framework and all of the APIs and the development practices in SharePoint.
Gotcha. So various things that can be dangerous, I guess, in the SharePoint
indeed,
world.
Yeah, indeed.
So, hey, you've been on the show before. It was back, I think, around the build timeframe, and we talked a little bit about SharePoint framework. I know you and I are going to sit down later this week and also talk more specifically about the SharePoint framework. So I know my listeners may be familiar with the fact that it's kind of key on my mind right now, maybe from something that happened recently.
Yeah.
But we're not going to talk about that today. I want to talk a little bit about the Office Dev PNP. It's a real, it's a very popular thing. It's got a lot of legs in the community and at Microsoft. And I thought that, you know, a lot of our listeners, we've never talked about it on the show, and it's something that our listeners are definitely interested in. So I guess my perception, let me share with you what my perception of PNP is, and then I'm going to let you serve the role as my wife, and you're going to correct me everywhere I've been wrong on this. So
sounds good.
Is that fair? Right? Yeah. Does it work like that over in Finland as well, in your household, maybe?
Yeah, it does. It does.
A little bit? Okay.
Absolutely.
We don't need to translate that part, I guess.
No.
Okay, so I guess from my perception of what PNP is, it stands for Patterns and Practices, and I know that there was a group at with MSDN that had PNP way back. But what this one is mostly about, it's you guys have taken a lot of things that maybe have not come out of engineering, but they've been community driven or customer driven. They've been blessed by engineering, or engineering says, yeah, okay, that's a legit way to do it.
Yep.
And it's a series of guidelines and samples and maybe utilities and scripts and PowerShell scripts and, yep. and samples and libraries. But they're there that are, a lot of the stuff has come out of the discussions and or the engagements that customers have had yep. in getting on board. I was going to say Office 365, but is it more specific to just SharePoint?
Well, yeah. So nowadays, originally the BMP actually started as a, well, if you think about the historical things, and let's not go back all the way 4 years go back. But
we'll start at the eighth day. How's that?
Yeah, the eighth day. That's been Visa. No, never mind. almost spilled your coffee.
I did. You almost got me good there.
Now, originally when we went public, I think the name was something like Office AMS, and that was standard for Office application model samples in CodePlex. And then marketing said that, hey, well, actually, you guys are doing a good job on showing samples and delivering additional patterns and practices. So let's rename that as an Office 365 patterns and practices. That was the original name. Now, a few years back, or slightly more than a year ago, the PMP ownership was moved directly to the SharePoint engineering. So obviously, SharePoint engineering has interests of kind of owning the brand and all of that. So that's why we've been using more of the SharePoint patterns and practices as a term. And even at the time before that happened, the maturity of the learnings and patterns and practices were around SharePoint. Simply because, well, I'm an ex-field person. I used to be a principal consultant and doing transformation stories from on-premises to SharePoint Online, how to do customizations, similar customization as in SharePoint Online as in on-prem. And that was what I did for a living for years. So that's where a lot of the stuff and ideas came from, and we'll still actually build for a lot of those learnings from those customer projects. Technologies are evolving, but now in SharePoint framework, but basic technologies, how do we transform? What are the things? How do I do certain functionality in SharePoint Online? Those are still the same. Yes, you might use WebStack rather than just random JavaScript or you do something else, but objectives are still the same.
Gotcha.
So, but yeah.
And a lot of the stuff that you guys are doing, I mean, a lot of the output I see, let me step back a bit. So you say that, you know, PMP is founded inside of engineering, or it's right now it's based inside of engineering.
Yes,
it's a role, like your role is in, so I guess let's step back even farther than that, right? What is your role on the PMP side?
So on the PMP side, so basically I own and coordinate the PMP initiative. Now, there's multiple other people involved in our PMP core team who are doing super valuable stuff, but in the end, I'm kind of the ownership or the coordinator, main coordinator of the functionality is what we do.
And you're based inside of engineering.
So inside of engineering.
Okay, so that's
and BMP is kind of two-way channel of, first of all, engineering providing guidance, and providing guidance on SharePoint framework, providing samples, providing things, and reusable components, and we have plenty of stuff, like you know. But also the direction inside of the engineering. So getting the feedback from the community, when community is in our community goals and in the GitHub and raising concerns, questions. I'm pretty passionate about solving challenges, especially if you can see that there's consistent challenges with multiple people facing the same thing, then we'll address those challenges. Or if there's areas where we're getting a lot of questions, and I'll get 2 to 3 questions on the same topic, and then maybe on the following day I'll do a quick video and push it out using our official channels. And
right.
But also getting the feedback from MVPs and also non-MVPs towards what we should be prioritizing in the future for SharePoint development.
Right. Okay. And so that's where I was trying to get to. Where you're a Microsoft employee. You're the Microsoft employee for the entire PMP group.
Correct.
You are founded inside engineering, but the rest of the team is the rest of the PMP core team. And you look at all the pictures, and it's very few people that are Microsoft people. I mean, it seems like most of them. Maybe I'm biased on it, but it seems like most of them are all externals. Like you've got people like Waldeck that are involved, and Paulo and
Irvin
Erwin.
And Ruddy. And so originally we started.
I shouldn't have named names. I know I just left off a bunch of people, but there's people that just started coming up with the pictures I could see in that little grid.
So, originally, we started the PMP. Originally was kind of the internal community, let's say, initiative in SharePoint. So In Microsoft.
Right.
So we were all Microsoft internal community people. We were not in engineering.
Right.
So it was me, Bert Jansen, Frank Marasco, Steve Walker was the guy and link to our engineering at the time. Mm-hmm. And for those guys, Bert is super active, super committed, still closely involved, and he works in the service engineering, so not in the core engineering as I do. Mm-hmm. And I do know that the listeners of this podcast cannot understand the difference, but that's fine.
It's engineering, right?
But he works in a slightly different role. But Bert is a super, super active from a Microsoft side. And a few other guys like Frank Marasco, Anton's from MCS, Brian Michelli from MCS. But then the active people, obviously, and where we want to grow, not forgetting the value of internal Microsoft community also, but is the external MVPs
right.
and external people.
Right.
So because that's where we actually get the feedback towards the Microsoft as well. So actually get those connections, get the community. Why we're using MVPs is that the MVPs are super connected. They work with the numerous customers. They provide channels and input from other MVPs as well.
Mm-hmm.
My ultimate goal, I'm rambling again on the thinking this, my ultimate goal sooner or later is to get the BMP to the stage where we can actually step back.
Microsoft can step back.
We'll be there still,
yeah.
Helping on and validating the things and all of that. But then it would be MVPs and who are actually running the show. They have their own, let's say, way of running that. There would be a smaller, probably similar kind of a core team like we have right now who's making decisions.
Right.
And making a decision, for example, for our reusable components, because every now and then there's debatable decisions which
sure.
need to be done.
But
that would be the hopefully within years. I'm not going to go away because I love what I do.
But no doubt. So you're trying to push it more to a community base, driven.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
So you never know what's going to happen in the future. What if I got hit by a bus? Hey, sounds bad, but it might happen.
You might get crushed by all the people here at Ignite. There's 25,000 trying to get across the skyway like I did.
Exactly. That's pretty horrible.
God, it was nuts.
But we really want to make sure that the initiative would be still alive.
Right.
And we would have a bigger enough community and a core team who's willing to lead the whole thing.
Right.
And they have permissions and access. There's no single point of failure. That's my ultimate goal on the whole thing.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about some of the things like that people would find. Like, what would they get out of PMP? Like, so if I'm looking at, if I'm a customer and I'm like, I want to be able to do this stuff. And what I'm thinking is, sharing with some of with our listeners, like, there's guidance. There's white paper style kind of guidance and how you should be doing it. And this isn't so much this is how you better be doing it like this. But if you're in this kind of a situation or this kind of a scenario, these are things that we've all kind of agreed is this is the right path.
Yeah.
And then things like we'll talk a little bit about some of like the JavaScript library, the core library. And we'll talk about some things like the provisioning thing. That's something I know that is really important, really interesting to a lot of people. So
for right now, so for the BMP obviously has been evolving. At some point, the BMP was kind of, there was official documentation, official the stuff what Microsoft was doing, and then there was BMP. But right now, it's completely integrated. So the SharePoint BMP essentially is the SharePoint Dev ecosystem.
Mm.
And that's how we want to position that in the future as well. Whenever you're doing development in SharePoint, the SharePoint BMP equals the SharePoint Dev ecosystem. So we'll provide you the guidance, samples, everything else. Who knows if the BMP term will go away at some point, we'll just use a SharePoint Dev ecosystem. I wouldn't want that to go away because it has a lot of obvious personal feelings as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how it has been positioned, and our leadership wants to position that inside of Microsoft as well.
Mm.
We are the SharePoint Dev, that's it.
Gotcha.
Now, if you think about what's available, so some of the new cool stuff which is getting released during this week, for example, we will release the first set of our reusable SharePoint framework controls.
Oh, really?
So, because obviously, when people are implementing their extensions and web parts, it would be kind of convenient if we would have a community initiative on reusable controls.
Of course.
Which would make a lot of sense.
Are these like extra like things in the property pane?
Both.
Okay.
So there's two packages. One of them is for the property pane. So the typical setup will start by 4 and we'll start extending from there. So the taxonomy picker, the people Ooh. Picker, group picker, list item picker, and I think list picker is included on that one, and a fourth one, which I can't remember that. but then also internal actual web part controls. So like placeholder control list view control and those kind of things, because typical stuff what people need anyway.
Yeah, very cool.
And what we want to do with that one, so most likely it will take quite a long time, if it will never happen, that the SharePoint framework itself completely and the first party web part would be open source. Mm. The Yeoman template is an exception. Mm-hmm. We can talk about that one later.
I got some feelings on that.
Yeah, you might have some feelings on that. But so we're probably never going to do open source on the first party controls and web parts. Who knows, that might happen, but it's not going to happen within a month or within a year, or who knows. Mm-hmm. But what we want to do is that we want to harvest the first party web parts and controls, what we have internally access on the code base, and mm-hmm. then we harvest those and put them in this reusable control package, which is available in NPM for every single SharePoint framework developer to use.
Mm, that's
which will
really
then
cool.
reduce the developer times. It will be beneficial for everybody. Everybody should be happy. Yeah. And hopefully it's we're targeting that to be obviously an effort which we do together with MVPs and a community again, and hopefully it will take off. You never know.
Are the libraries that you're going to be posting in there, are they going to be like published to a CDN that we can reference as SharePoint framework
that's,
developers, or
yes.
is that something that we have to?
So for time being, they're in right now. We've just released them on last Thursday. Internal,
so
haven't actually announced
bundles.
Them. So their own bundles, yes. They are in the PMP scope. So we took an ownership of the PMP scope in NPM.
That's why you did that just recently.
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
Now things are coming together.
And the reason why we wanted to use PMP scope in NPM is that this is open source community initiative.
Yeah.
It's not owned by Microsoft, and who knows, for now we're coordinating that, but sooner or later somebody else might be taking over and together with Microsoft, and now we'll be helping on that. And that's why we want to use the PMP scope in NPM rather than Microsoft or SharePoint or whatever, because it's a community-driven initiative.
Sure, that makes sense. That's really cool. I had no idea you guys were doing that.
We haven't actually announced that officially yet.
Oh, we
did this morning. There was a blog post in devdevops.com. My personal marketing guy, who quoted himself this morning, Vesa's marketing guy, Mike Amelan, posted blog post.
So he posted it already. Okay,
yeah.
Good. Well, this episode's going to probably go out tomorrow morning, so at least I know I'm not breaking embargo.
No, not at all. And on Thursday, we have a session on where we're going to demonstrate some of that stuff. But it's already in a good state. So if you go to the GitHub, you pull it down, you'll do NPM install, you have a web part which is demonstrating functionalities.
Gotcha. So, all right, let me, I'm going to try and put you on the spot. I am going to put you on the spot. So if you don't know the answer to this, do you know what the session code is for the one on Thursday?
No,
if this comes out on Tuesday.
I can't remember that.
Okay, so you're the presenter?
Yes, I'm the presenter on Thursday morning, the first session on the slot.
First session on the slot?
Yeah.
Okay, I might catch the recording.
Yep.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's after the attendee party or.
Is it really? Is it attendee party?
I don't know.
I usually skip the attendee party.
Yeah, exactly.
So the attendee parties are great because that means everyone leaves the area of the conference and the reservations are easy to get in the desert.
There's two introverts in a room.
There's a party. Sweet, you're taking everybody away. This is awesome. Okay, cool. So that's a big thing you guys are announcing this week. What other stuff can you guys share this week?
Yeah, so other stuff this week. So we'll be releasing a new version, latest version of SharePoint PMP JavaScript core component.
Okay.
I don't know what we're going to call that nowadays anymore.
Yeah.
It's SPPMPJS. But it also has now the native Fluent Graph APIs inside of it. And the whole point of that one is that you don't have to understand the SharePoint REST API. You'll just do web.lists.getmeanlist.items.whatever. So it's
clean. Almost
clean, it's simple. Sure, it will increase your bundle size, but that's kind of given. It's giving you simplicity. And it should simplify the transition from classic managed code implementations to the JavaScript.
Mm.
And if you want to use it, it's there. If you don't want to use it, that's fine.
Random question. So with some of these that you have, like that JavaScript library, the PMP core library, and maybe this other one that you're working on as well, as there are community kind of things, and they don't have a, like, correct me if I'm wrong, are they supported by Microsoft?
No.
Okay, so
everything, well, technically, well, this is really hard to kind of nowadays put on the clear statement.
Yeah.
So all of our reusable components, is it a PMP site score, the CSUM component, which is available, is it a PMP PowerShell? super valuable stuff from originally from Irvine, but there's like 80 contributors on that, which is mind-blowing.
Yeah. And
all of these JavaScript libraries. So we from Microsoft side, we absolutely foresee what's happening now, but it's not part of the product.
Okay.
So it's not That's really a part of the product in a way that you can call and say, hey, my PMP PowerShell, I don't know how to use that. Can you support me?
Yeah.
Our support would not actually answer that.
So. Right. So, okay. So it just so to be black and white here, I mean, I've worked for some organizations where they have a mandate where they're not allowed to use, I guess you could say they're not allowed to go to GitHub and get stuff, or they're not allowed to use anything open source, unless you can put a support agreement behind it, then their developers aren't allowed to use it. So this would fall into that kind of a company could not use this.
Exactly. That is absolutely correct. Now, on that one, we always said that, hey, not a problem, if you can find a partner who's willing to support on the middle.
Yeah.
That's the solution for that.
Sure. So let me ask you this then. If for some of those libraries where we say, you know, yes, you would have to host it in your own bundle and stuff like that, have you guys looked at using any like the public CDNs that are out there I think that like we did it with one library that I had, the NG Office UI Fabric. Yes. And once we got to, I think, 100 stars on the repo.
Yeah, I can't remember the service name, but more than 100 stars, or actually it doesn't have to be 100 as long as you are credible enough.
Yes.
You can actually get it in the CDN.
Yeah, so every time now we do a push, every time we do a new push and cut a release on master, then it automatically, this site watch has a webhook tied to our repo, and they pull the new one every time.
So the SPPMP.js, and I can't remember even the package name now, we're chasing the package's name right now as we speak, but the classic JavaScript core component is already in the CDN.
Oh,
so you can actually reference that there.
Okay.
Now, the new controls, they're not, because nobody's aware of them yet.
Right.
So whenever we get the bundle numbers slightly up and everything else, and if that's catching on, absolutely we'll make sure that it's hosted properly.
Well, you realize now that you're on the show, we have like tens of thousands of people now aware.
Hundreds of thousands aware.
By the way, this is exactly
what I mean. Doing SharePoint framework all day long.
This is the big release. I knew this would be a fun interview. It's been a long time since we've been able to sit down and talk.
True.
It's the last time we sat down was at Build, but it was all CJ was in Seattle, I was in Florida, and you were in Finland. And it's always tough because CJ is fresh out of bed.
Yep.
It's late in the afternoon for you, and I'm all like jacked up on coffee. It's like 11 or 12 o'clock, so the energy level's different. But so that's some of the new stuff. But some of the other stuff that you guys have had that's been really popular among developers, like the provisioning stuff.
Provisioning stuff, no doubt. Yeah. So the provisioning stuff is part of the PMP CSOM core, which is a client-side object model extension. So you reference the NuGet packets, and it will add a humongous amount of additional methods on top of the client-side object model in SharePoint. And in there, one of the key capabilities, there's a lot of other stuff there as well, like the time and show framework and all of that, but is no doubt the provisioning one. Because in SharePoint Online, you should not use, first of all, you can't use site definition, you should not use site templates, because those are evil, and I'm not going to explain why, but they're super evil.
I'll agree with both of those statements. Yeah. They're definitely evil. They're like really evil.
Yeah.
Like Oracle evil.
Yes, they are. It will bite you, but it will bite you slightly later.
Yes.
While you're not watching.
We're talking like Oracle, we're talking like Perl, we're talking like regular expressions. This stuff is really bad.
Yes. It will look good.
We used to use it, and it was very useful back in the day, but now I shouldn't say regular expressions, but you've heard the regular expression joke, right?
What's that?
If I have a problem, and I have solved my problem, and I found a regular expression to solve my problem, you know what I have now? Two problems. I think I used that joke on the show a couple weeks ago. Anyway, so we were talking about provisioning.
But the site provisioning is no doubt. So what we're trying to do is to teach the right ways of, let's say, provisioning templated sites in SharePoint Online. Mm. So we have a managed code version. You can serialize the templates if you want. Up to you. You can serialize to XML, to JSON. Mm. And then you can, for example, initiate an Azure function in SharePoint on the cloud saying, hey, apply a template to this site. And that's going to then apply the configurations. What it would be, it's site columns, fields, language settings, branding, let's say width parts on a page, how many pages, content. It's just up to you what the template can do. What's super popular and gaining a lot of popularity is really the using the PMP PowerShell to push those templates in and all of that, because the PMP PowerShell, even though you would be a developer, it's like you don't want to miss that, because it's so much easier to write two lines of PowerShell rather than opening Visual Studio and writing managed code, as an example, which will push to Azure Web Job or whatever. With Azure Functions, they support PowerShell. They will activate your script, for example, PowerShell script, whenever an item is put on the Azure queue, and then it's up to you what the PowerShell is doing. With the BMP PowerShell, there's more than 250 commandlets available to automate modifications against the site. One of them, once again, is the site provisioning one, and which is the easiest way to provide a consistent templates for people to get started on SharePoint. A lot of the companies are using this provisioning engine almost like an add-on, let's say, service. So they, for end users, they provide some sort of a small widget in the site where they go add functionality, and that will list, let's say, tens and tens of different functionalities, and which are actually templates. So you click a functionality, I want to have a news functionality. You click that one, what will happen is that the Azure function will apply the list and modifications on the sites and all of that stuff, so that the end user doesn't have to configure anything. So it's fully automatic.
Gotcha. That's cool. That's very cool. See, all right, so we talked about the PowerShell stuff. We talked about the provisioning. Actually, I have a question for you about the PowerShell stuff. And this is, I'm curious on your take on this, and it may not be related to PMP, but I've seen, so we have PowerShell, and PowerShell is great for the Windows guys, right? But I'm also seeing, like, on the Azure side, I'm seeing a lot more, I don't want to say a de-investment, but it's much more of a, their focus has changed more to being much more CLI, to be more cross-platform, be more friendly to it. Now, I know it's because the Azure guys really want to attract a lot of the Linux guys to come over to their side. And that may not be as much of a draw for, because you're not looking for the Linux developers and Linux engineers to come over on the SharePoint side. That's generally not who your developer audience is, from my perception.
Yeah, that's true.
But is there any, is there anything that, have you guys looked at all, or is there anything that maybe on the roadmap where you'd be thinking about that having like a CLI, not just for Office, but I mean, like for something for Office PMP, like if I wanted to configure the things that I have to do only through PowerShell, like enabling the CDN on Office 365, I have to use the PowerShell to do that.
Yes.
Is there, or having like RESTful endpoints that I can talk to from there?
So in SharePoint engineering, related on those operations, and that's a good point. So the reason why we have the PowerShell is that you're operating in the tenant level quite often.
Right.
And then the BMP PowerShell is operating in a site collection on a site level, but they're not available unless you're using Windows. Mm-hmm. Technically, I think we will be releasing something or release something which might not work for other operations. I don't know.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. Are we looking into exposing additional APIs? And the answer is yes. We absolutely understand that we have to be able to configure a lot of these settings using an object APIs as well. The challenge of exposing APIs is always the additional, let's say, permission, security, and all of that. And we know that the SharePoint Online PowerShell works in the right way. It's guaranteed, the authentication, everything else works in a way. For us, it's the lazy way of thinking is that, hey, we'll just add additional PowerShells on the existing
SharePoint.
Exactly.
Yeah, you already got the infrastructure.
We've been internally having discussions on exposing admin operations using an API, because there's the new admin experience coming on SharePoint online. I think it will be announced this week, and it will be shown
tomorrow, I think.
Tomorrow,
So this will come out after that.
Yeah, cool. Excellent.
Let's see. Yeah, 11. I'll make sure this comes out after 11.
But that's obviously using REST APIs. So why wouldn't we then figure out how do we do the same in a secured way for people so that they authenticate using the tenant administrative permissions or whatever and can automate stuff.
So the reason I asked for it, selfishly, I'm a Mac person. And so the only time I'm ever firing up a Windows machine when I'm doing Office 365 stuff is when I want to play with the CDN.
Yes, right. Which is it's horrible story, kind of.
It is. I mean, it stinks. I mean, is it that big of a deal? No. I mean, there's other places. You know, if I had a dollar to spend, where would I spend it? I mean, me personally, I know I'd probably spend it there. But if I'm looking big picture, going, I know I'm also not I'm not the majority. But the other side of it too is that I looked at it from last year. I spent a lot of time with a group called CSP, and helping very large customers that sell licenses to Azure and Office 365 yep. and then manage those deployments for customers, doing it manually is just not an option.
Yep.
And so what they would end up having, a lot of them, you know, Azure's got full-blown REST APIs, it's got a CLI, it's got yep. PowerShell as
oh, yeah.
well.
Oh yeah.
Probably the REST APIs are the ones that lead, and then the other two are wrapped around, or wrap it around, it's like SDKs. And the Office side was the one, Office 365 side was one of the challenges that we always had, which yep. was we can provision, but then how do I show them, how do you configure stuff? And it's like, well, you gotta go through, and a lot of them, it was funny because a lot of them would just have a Windows VM that they would shell into and then run PowerShell commandlets. But anyway, so I was just curious about that. I guess it's not, so we'll get back on the PMP.
Well, I think it's an interesting discussion though when I think of it. And obviously, the first impression is like, well, why isn't SharePoint people investing on this? Why the Azure guys are doing this, but you guys are not? Now, let's be realistic. Once again, SharePoint is an old on-premises product which yeah. moved to the cloud
yeah.
and been massively successful there.
Yeah.
So we need to prioritize our actions, unfortunately. And,
no.
and it is a tough thing to do.
It's not unfortunate. I mean, that's just reality. I mean, yeah. it's not unfortunate. It's like what my priorities are not the same priorities that you guys
exactly.
have or
exactly.
the rest of people outside this room. I mean,
and then if you think about Azure, that's born in the cloud. So
yeah.
they do have certain requirements. So every single service they put in the Azure.
Yeah.
You can't go to Azure unless you have a proper APIs.
Right.
So
right.
and they have a completely different history. So
and frankly they have a different market.
I mean, exactly.
if they're going
that's true as well.
Azure's really going for the developer market. I mean,
yes,
there's a lot of other markets that are there, but they're going for the developer market. And since they started supporting Linux VMs, they've also seen a huge increase in interest
yeah.
from the Linux community. So I don't know if I would see that same kind of Linux, you know, draw into the Office 365
sure.
space.
I mean,
that's
sure.
more of the business draw that you're
sure.
gonna get. And the developers have been doing this stuff.
Sure.
So let me ask you a little bit too. Let me first, before I move into this next part, is there anything else that you wanted to highlight of like what there is to offer from PMP? I want to get in just a minute. I want to talk about some of the different ways that people can engage or like see you, like the SIGs and stuff. So we're not gonna talk about that yet. But.
Yeah, so OpenSSL, we provide like being covered. So there's a lot of samples. There's YouTube videos. I was just checking yesterday the statistics. I think we had 1,100,000 minutes watch time within the last year. So,
wow.
So it's like now it's growing to be 130,000 in a month watch time, which is like, okay, well, apparently people are watching this, which is cool.
It's surprising how much you guys are publishing. Well, I say you guys. It's surprising how much you are publishing stuff that's out there. So I set up, I run a newsletter
yeah.
on my site that's just like, what's the latest going on in the SharePoint dev world? And to try and keep track of it, actually, Waldeck MasterCards and I were talking, and he's like, you know what would be cool is when they release new stuff or updated stuff like new samples or whatever or new articles or things on YouTube, it'd be cool if that was part of that newsletter. I'm like, yeah, that's cool, you're right. So let me go set this up. So I went over and I use Zapier and I have a couple little notifications that pop up. I get an email every time you guys publish a new video on
yep.
YouTube, on your YouTube channel. I get an email every time there's a commit to master on 3 or 4 different repos
yep.
In there. And like today, holy crap, man, you published a whole bunch of new videos
oh, yeah.
today on extensions. So
yeah.
it's just-
And a lot of documentation as well.
Yeah, I know. I got a lot of emails to go through now. Thanks, man. I was fine until
yeah.
the keynote kicked in and then boom. You were
yeah.
busy this morning, huh?
Oh, yes, we were. Yes, we were. That was actually pretty awesome. We had the engineer who's responsible of the release was sitting right next to me in the speaker room as well. And so we did a timing of everything and checking, okay, NPM packages, and I'll push out the docs and videos. And then Mike was sitting right next to it. Mike is our marketing guy and,
yeah.
and pushing out the blog posts.
Mike Emmerlin, yeah,
yes.
yeah. Yeah, that's, I saw those emails come across and like, all right, I know what I'm doing tonight, I guess. I gotta go through and make sure I take my notes for the next newsletter that comes out next week. So.
Yeah. yeah.
That's great, but yeah. Yeah, so, okay, and so a little bit more about how people can engage with you guys, or at least if they, maybe I'm not one that wants to engage with PMP, but I want to be hip to what's going on. I want to know
yep.
what you guys are doing. And so one thing that you guys do, I mean, aside, you have a YouTube channel.
Yep.
With a bunch of different playlists in there, a bunch of sub-channels inside of it as well, where I know you publish, we'll publish a bunch of videos that we just talked about a second ago
yep.
and some other ones, recordings and meetings. But you also follow the same kind of thing that other big open source projects do, where you have a concept of special interest groups or
yep.
SIGs.
Yes.
And the one that I follow is the JavaScript one that does,
yep.
I know, what, the PMP core and the SharePoint framework one.
Yep.
You want to talk a little bit about the SIGs?
So, even originally in PMP, we started doing monthly calls. That was kind of like our thing. We wanted to first of all, we did a monthly communications. We wanted to acknowledge all of the people who contributed, listing them and thanking them. And then on the monthly call, we go through the what has happened within the last month. And that's always been kind of, hey, what has happened within the last month? What's the videos? What's the articles? What's the samples? What has gone through and all of that? And that's always second Tuesday of every single month. I think 8 a.m. on PT time zone. And that's been that for 3 years, which is pretty awesome.
Wow, yeah, that's a long time. That's awesome.
Yes. But on DoubleTap, obviously, we quite fast realized that the monthly call, because it's 1 hour, and we're doing a lot of stuff, it's actually crazy how much stuff is going out, like you mentioned. But it's fun.
Yeah.
So we always run out of time. So we didn't have a chance to have an open Q&A with an audio for the people. At some point, we were ranking in 150 attendees in a call. People wanted to listen, but they might have a question which we were unable to answer because we ran out of time.
Sure.
So that was really the main idea of starting special interest groups. So let's have a special interest group which is booked on a specific topic. We'll have latest on the topic, and then a few demos maybe, and then some time for Q&A, and be more formal, not being strictly on the structure. The SharePoint framework and JavaScript special interest group, we started that actually last year, was it in February? And we intentionally started that way before nobody knew about SharePoint framework. And we immediately on the day one, we started actually preaching about the web stack development, and we created the SPPNP.js library and demonstrating the usage of that one and explaining the web stack. And that was just a hidden scam, essentially.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I knew you were starting to push people like, you need to go in this direction, wink wink.
Yes, because we were unable to say what's going to happen and what's going to be announced on May.
Yeah.
So we're doing 3 months, and some people actually got it, some people didn't. And we were having great calls, and then obviously in after May last year, then it became completely public that SharePoint framework is coming. Then, and now we're still doing that bi-weekly on every single Thursday, I think 7 a.m. Pacific time, which isn't optimal for Pacific people, but then again, it's optimal
it's
for Europe,
for
and it's great for you.
That's what works for me.
Exactly. It's really hard to find a suitable time for
I totally hear you. It's impossible. You have to do two calls.
Exactly.
Right? You do two calls, one like that's going to hit in the morning for Pacific time, and then one that's in the evening for Eastern U.S., which is going to hit like in the middle of the night for Europe, but it actually is going to be able to touch
in
some
Asia.
Of the people over in Asia.
And, exactly.
It's tough.
But in the sick call, so that's bi-weekly, SharePoint framework and JavaScript. We'll go through what has happened in a SharePoint framework. We showed our SharePoint, so the build 2016, 2017 demo day before we actually had the session in the SIG. So we kind of give sneak peeks on, hey, this is what's actually happening. I think last time we talked about what's with the SharePoint framework 1.3 version and how the on-premises support is going to work.
Right, that's
right.
So we
told that already beforehand. Now it's out starting today, which is pretty cool. So we're trying to give some additional insights by up to date on what's happening, and then live community demos because people are contributing examples, giving them chance to also show what they have done, giving them visibility, which is brilliant, and then have an open Q&A.
Gotcha.
And then we have bi-weekly this SharePoint framework JavaScript, and then bi-weekly on the PMP CSUM, PowerShell, and the provisioning. That's kind of the thinking. Technically, the PMP CSUM PowerShell provisioning call is kind of a generic SharePoint development, and then we have this other one which is around SharePoint framework.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've participated quite a bit lately in the JavaScript ones, and I know Patrick Rogers from your side who runs the PMP JavScript core, and then you're running the SharePoint framework side, and it's a great way to get in to find out what's the latest that's going on. They do respond to feedback. If you guys are listening to this, they do respond to feedback. Even when they were talking about the roadmap, and someone said you shouldn't have red dots all over your stuff, you should have said just take those out and just put green dots all over on what you finish and not red dots, because it looks bad. I'm like, Really? That's the feedback? I got a lot more things on my list that I'd like to. I thought that was kind of funny.
I think it was Paul, but let's not name anybody.
That's why I can call him out. No, it was. I found it kind of funny, but the. But yeah, and then there's a great dialogue. I mean, when you guys are presenting too, there's a great. It's not just a great place to ask questions. There's a great dialogue that goes on in the chat while you guys are presenting at the beginning. And so like, and it's there's a lot of peer helping stuff. Like you have people ask questions and, well, when did you be able to do this? And people like me or Paul or Waldeck or blank on some of the other ones, but they jump in and they'll throw a link in there too and just say, hey, there's a doc over here on this. And you know, that's something else I wanted to ask you about too. It's kind of PMP-ish, it's kind of not. You've alluded to this a lot in the last few months on the on the PMP calls, on the JavaScript calls. It looks like to me you guys made the docs jump.
Yes.
So all the docs used to be dev.office.com, and then out of the blue, they all went black on me because my docs.microsoft.com is configured for the dark experience, right, for the theme.
Okay.
And so all of a sudden, I'm like, why is all my SharePoint documentation black? I'm like, oh. It's because it's on the new site.
Yes.
You guys made the migration. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Finally. Thank God. The old platform was horrible. It's been a rocky road, to be honest. But I think we did a first transition on Friday.
Okay.
And now on this morning, we did a massive update on the docs anyway, on the towards the GA of 1.3 version. So
that's awesome.
And now it's finally on the docs.microsoft.com/SharePoint. And then when you land there, it's going to ask Dev or IT Pro. Click the dev, you land on the new dev platform. And we'll be investing and our objective is to increase or invest on the REST API documentation, which is a tough discussion. Let's not even start that discussion. Yeah. Why is it so hard?
Okay.
And I can explain at some point, maybe in one of the six you can ask.
We can do that, yeah. Definitely, I can do
that's
that.
That's fine. Because we're pretty transparent on those special interest group calls. Because that helps all people understanding why.
I'll second that. You guys are very transparent in the sense that my eyes have kind of opened up, like going, wow, I can't believe he said that. I mean, I have a unique experience where I get to see some of how the sausage is made with you guys, and some of the questions I've heard you answer, some of the other guys have answered on the call. I was like, wow, I can't believe they actually said that. I mean, I knew that was the answer, but wow, okay, cool. That's out there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Because to be honest, I think we're all in the same boat.
Sure,
We want to be successful with SharePoint, and hopefully the community wants to be successful with SharePoint. You certainly want to be successful with SharePoint framework.
Oh, yeah. I want everybody else to be, too.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want them to understand it. Now, going back to our little exchange that we had on Twitter the other day, Stephanie Sloper, if you're listening to this, we're the two that we're going back and forth. I like it that your documentation may be. I like having, let's just say, I like augmenting your documentation. How's that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That works for us because there's always limited resources here and there, and there's always different interests and different companies. There's an opportunities for training companies and training people. There's an opportunities for ISVs and everything else. So we can only provide, the baseline now of things, and then people build on that and they build their businesses on top of that. So that's how it will be always.
Yeah.
And we don't want to compete with, it's a good example is going back on the provisioning as an example.
Yeah.
We don't want to compete with provisioning or migration ISVs, definitely not. Yeah. But we want to make sure that there's an alternative which they can actually use as such, open source alternative, which they can pull down the code and use it, or they can use the components or whatever. It's again up for the people.
Yeah.
So proving that it's there, providing sufficient amount of things, and then people like AC can then implement and create a more sophisticated training. Is that the right way of putting it?
A different approach, right? I mean, what my offering is, what you guys have training, I have training, we both take a very different approach to it.
True.
It's for some, it's not for others.
True.
So, yeah,
true.
I'll leave it. I don't want to do an ad pitch here. I mean,
another one is with native English, another one is mainly in English. No, it's just.
Yeah. This has been really valuable. I think this has been really valuable and enlightening for our listeners. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with them? Maybe call to action. Where should they go for this stuff? Where should they go to learn more about PMP? Get involved in one of the SIGs, stuff like that.
Yeah. So if you go akms.ms/ SPBNP, you will land into the SharePoint PNP landing page. From there, you can download the monthly call link, the special interest group links. That's where we have all the listing of the videos. I think I have it now configured that it's listing all of the latest videos automatically from YouTube and all of that. There's links and everything on that page. Dev.office.com/SharePoint, our SharePoint landing page, and from there, when you click more on the documentation, you'll land on the docs.microsoft.com. The dev.office.com, that's SharePoint, will be pretty soon replaced as well. So we'll have a new portal for SharePoint development, which is pretty cool.
Gotcha.
But that's marketing thing. Yes. It's not that important, right?
Yeah.
But I would say AKMS SharePoint PMP. It's the one address where we have then links to numerous locations. We know that we were producing humongous amount of libraries and reusable stuff, and it's really hard to keep up on things. And maybe the one page we're working on, actually Darcy just today was offering her help on redesigning the page and figuring out how do we want to expose this. But
cool, very cool. Yeah, and I'll throw a shameless plug in too. That I mean, I do have. If you go to my site, voitanos.io, there is a, at the bottom of the page, there is a form where you can fill it out, and I do a bi-weekly newsletter that kind of summarizes a lot of the stuff that you guys have done over the last 2 weeks. Yeah. Sorry, it's a mashup of summarizing what you guys have done,
and
new samples, examples,
well. Yeah,
and
exactly.
Stuff in the community. And I mean, if you guys see something on there that, you know, that should be on there, is there a blog that I'm not watching, then you know, let me know and I add it to my list, and
absolutely.
I'll definitely put it on there. So. Well, hey, Vesa, thanks a lot for sitting down and talking about this.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my plan was for this to go about 20 minutes, so we clearly... I thought we had some fun, but I mean, we got interrupted by someone who doesn't apparently know what an interview looks like, even though he was about to do an interview. I think everybody got a lot out of this, so thank you very much.
Thanks, Stacey. Thanks.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show, and we'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or an MP3, and provide a link so that we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is brought to you by Keith Ritchie. For more information on Keith's music, head to music.kritchie.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes and the Google Play Store by searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook, searching for Microsoft Cloud Show, or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up to our mailing list by heading over to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.